Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Jo Pride is our guest. I'm glad she's here, too. She is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And as I mentioned earlier, she's already finished 9 years. She's in her 10th year as a member of our Brain Trust. Jo, what do you think about that?
I'm stunned and horrified.
Horrified. Well, that's not exactly.
I just feel old.
That's not exactly the emotion I was hoping to elicit.
Yeah, well, take it personally.
I did.
Oh, well, you shouldn't.
I don't know. I think you do. I think you say these things to. So I'll take it personally. No, I thought you'd use the word honor or something like that, and you're honored to be here.
Me?
Isn't that
me?
I know. I lost my head for a minute.
What's the matter with you?
I think I lost my head.
Yeah.
Joe, I need a cherry blossom report, Joan.
Oh, hey, they're coming. They're here. They've started. They look good. It was a little scary a couple of days ago because we've had a couple of very cold nights.
Yeah.
Down to almost to freezing, and we were worried about the blossoms, but they're pretty hardy little things. They have hung on. Yeah.
And so when is cherry blossom week, though?
I think it's next week.
Are you saying that? Is it possible that the cherry blossoms and the celebration might actually overlap a little bit?
I know. That would be unprecedented, I think.
What does it happen? Like once every 10 years, the two actually match up?
I'm going to Google the Cherry Blossom Festival to see if I can figure out if it's next week. I should know, shouldn't I?
That's exactly right. I'm disappointed that you have to go to Google to find these things.
National Cherry Blossom Festival. Oh, my. Yes, I guess it's starting this Saturday. No, oh, I see. Optimum viewing time for the blossoms starts this Saturday.
Yeah, but when is the week?
To browse the schedule of
events. Oh, don't do that, Joan. The thing is it sounds to me like we're going to miss it again.
Well,
folks, and if you haven't been there, Joe, tell them about what goes on with the Cherry Blossom Celebration.
Well, it's just...
It's a festival, right?
It's a whole festival and a parade. We just celebrate these gorgeous trees. If you've never seen them, it's really hard to describe, and seeing pictures really doesn't do it justice. You have to go down to this area called the Tidal Basin, which is near the Jefferson Memorial, and just walk around there.
Take your breath
and
away.
It's unbelievable.
But it doesn't always happen. When they have the celebration, the cherry blossom ship has sailed most of the time.
Well, almost every year, you get a little warm period in March. Before
it
gets them going, and if it happens too early in March, then they're long gone.
These cherry blossoms get excited when it gets warm, don't they?
But it looks like the week of festivities will begin this Saturday, so
okay.
I think it's just going to be right on time for
all
one.
All right, that
so that'll
like
be
good.
Fun.
All the time you and I've been doing the show together, I think this has happened maybe one other time.
Oh, I'm sure.
But anyway, and see, I always miss it because I'm always there around the third week of April, which I'm going to be this year. By the way, folks, I'm going to be in Washington the third week of the year of the month of April for Small Business Week, my annual pilgrimage.
Now, see, they're long gone by then.
I know.
You might get some nice azaleas, though.
Well,
so
I
it's
often
still worth coming.
A lot of times, I mean, I'm almost never there. The end of March, first of April. I often come in March sometime, but it's earlier. You know, I mean, I haven't seen the cherry blossoms in years, so I got to figure out how to get up.
You got to come up with an excuse to get down here.
I know, but Joan, you've been hearing about the economy. The economy. Everybody says the economy's bad. What does Kiplinger say about that?
Well, we're not in the we don't think we're in the doldrums, but we do think the economy. Do I have to? Can I use the R word? Will you get upset?
Well, no, you can use it, but folks, just avert your ears. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, it's one of those things where they say, you know, if you have to turn your radio down for the next few minutes, so you don't hear this. But well, we do believe that the economy is in recession, but we think it's going
really?
To be mild. We think it's going to be mild.
Mm-hmm.
And we do think that some parts of the country will be worse than others. And we think that the parts that will be worse will be those that, you know, sort of make sense, the ones that led the housing boom. And I'm looking at the names here, and several of them tend to be the fastest growing states, like Arizona,
yep.
for example,
yep.
Southern California, Florida, Nevada. However, the Rust Belt is having problems too.
Mm-hmm. Michigan,
Jonah, and Ohio.
I saw a graphic the other day, a color graphic of the United States, where they pinpointed the concentration of foreclosures. And it was very interesting to see the color. You know, in other words, the more foreclosures there were in an area, it was the redder it was, and it was very interesting to see how the concentration of foreclosures, for example, were Atlanta, and as you say, you know, Phoenix, L.A., New York, I guess Miami. I've forgotten where some of the others were, but it was very interesting to see how it was concentrated in certain areas.
I can imagine.
The foreclosure levels.
Right.
But you know, Joan, there are 45, I heard the other day, there are 45 million mortgages in the United States. Did you know that number? You ever heard that number?
No. Well, I mean, I knew it was up there, but I didn't realize that was the number.
45 million.
Yeah.
And only about 5% of them are subprime. That's what I think I remember hearing. I knew that it's a small number.
So why are we
and
having
not,
so much problem?
And not all, but here's the rest. Remember this, though, Joan.
Yeah.
Not all of the subprimes are in jeopardy. Many of them, most of them are not in jeopardy. Just because you have a subprime mortgage doesn't mean that you're in trouble.
That's right.
So, you know, it's a very small number. I still am having trouble understanding how such a small number of the overall mortgage universe has caused all this trouble.
Right.
I'm still, and I think I understand what happened pretty well. I'm understanding it more every day, but it's still hard to understand how such a small number caused so much trouble. But it has created a problem. And, you know, Joan, this recession, though, is different, I think. This downturn we're having is different. Because in the past, people lost their houses because they lost their jobs.
Right.
Because of other influences. But today, people are losing their houses while they're still. I think that's the reason why this downturn, or whatever you want to call it, is not going to be long-lived.
And that was our point, which that we think you're going to see an upturn later this year.
Mm-hmm. Second half of the year.
Right.
Kiplinger says it. It's got to be true. 20 after. We're going to be right back with Joan Pride. A lot more good stuff to come. Stay with us.
And as I still walk on, I think of the things we've done together while our hearts were young. Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the articles and the Brain Trust. And subscribe to my newsletter there. You can find our blog there, which we update every weekday. You can listen to the show lots of different ways, not only live streaming or replay of archives of past shows. By streaming, you can also podcast them. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And then we have a knowledge base called askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. So I hope you'll check that out too. Use that to your advantage. And remember, no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. We'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff for free. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, I love reminding everybody about how smart I was back in the early part of the year, into December, January, 1st of January, when I said, ladies and gentlemen, in 2008, we're going to live the Chinese curse.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what the Chinese curse is, Joan.
May you live in interesting times.
Bingo.
May you live in times where the two Democratic candidates are killing each other while the Republican candidate sits by and watches. That's the Chinese curse. Right?
I'm sorry, you just got my funny bone there, Joan.
Well, it's true.
Oh, but I actually, though, what I said, though, Joan, what I said, what I said was,
yes,
on many levels, economic level, political level, international level. I mean, the Olympics. We got the Olympics in China, for gosh sakes, this year. I mean,
yes,
that,
we do.
How could that not be a goat roping, Joan? You know, how could that not be, you know, something that could, is going to, you know, be, resemble mayhem, probably.
Well, and given what's happened the last week or so, it's going to be, even before the problems in Tibet that have been occurring, you've had this whole issue, I think it's a huge issue of pollution.
No question about it. And and so I we've got all this, and so now we're talking about the economy. Let's talk about the economy for a second, which is where we were. And part of the Chinese curse has been to the degree that the government has decided to get involved in the economy. I mean, politicians are wringing their hands in this election year on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
About worrying, you know, what's going to happen. Well, you know what? There are some things that they can do, but mostly I just wish they'd let the marketplace work itself out.
Well, sure, but as you know, a lot of voters will blame the politicians if the economy doesn't come back fast enough. So they have to at least appear to be doing something. That's why we have these so-called economic stimulus payments coming, the rebates, which, well...
Did you get one last time? I never got
one. I don't remember.
I never got mine.
That was back in 2001. I can't remember that back that far.
Yeah, I never got mine. And so I actually don't think I'll get one this time either for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, but people should know if they don't get one and they're really supposed to, it's really an advance payment of a credit on next year's tax return. Next year's, not the one you're filing for 2007. So if you're going to file your – write this down, Jim. If you're going to file your 2008 taxes in 2009 and you didn't get the rebate, calculate. There'll be a line on there for that credit. So see if you might qualify for that.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd still get the tax relief.
At least, yeah, if you don't get the check. But if you do
see,
get
if
the
you
check,
would subscribe to the Kiplinger tax letter, you would know all these nice little factoids.
I know. Joan is the main person over there at the Kiplinger tax letter. She would know that. She knows these things. But we'll count on you to continue to remind us about that, Joan,
okay,
a year from now.
I could do that.
So they're working on lots of different things, Joan. I mean, we already know the Fed has done something unprecedented in preventing Bear Stearns from bankrupting.
I guess Bear Stearns was too big to fail.
And they stopped that. And you know, I think they probably had no choice there, because if that company had failed, it actually failed. They had a run on their bank the day before.
Yes.
The weekend, on that Friday.
Right.
And if they had failed, that would have been, I think they believed that there would have been a cascade effect.
I think that's right, yeah.
I think they're right.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I think it's possible. Sure.
So they had to do that now. But now here's the thing, though, Joan. The devil is in the details, isn't it? That's what's going on right now with that project. It's starting to get ugly. They haven't gotten it. It's not winding up as neat and clean as they hoped it would.
The whole Bear Stearns thing.
Yeah, the whole Bear Stearns thing. And so, but I only bring that up because that's what happens when the government gets involved.
Right.
I'm not saying they had a choice, but there's no way the government can get involved in something like this. And like the mortgage bailouts, Joan, the $300 billion, you guys report, what is there? The federal rescue of besieged homeowners is also gaining steam, Kiplinger says. Democrats plan a big push in April to provide up to $300 billion in guarantees to mortgage holders. I mean mortgagees.
So that's a government bailout of mortgage lenders.
Yeah. But my point is that it's going to create something. The residual of all that, I think, will wind up being not being very very attractive.
Right.
Because the government is the marketplace may not be beautiful all the time, but it is efficient most of the time. The government is not beautiful, and it's never efficient. So we got a problem coming up here, folks, that we all need to pay attention to. We don't need to ask our government to do too much for us. because they will mess it up. Quick break, 29 after. Stay with us.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Joan Pride is our guest, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, one of the things that as we wrap up this part about the economy, I don't know if you remember or not, but back in the 90s, when the Fed was having their problems and the way they were reacting to certain things, that's back when they couldn't believe that we could have low unemployment without having high inflation, that we could have high productivity numbers like we did without having runaway inflation. And
right.
If you remember, I said back in those days, I said, I think the Fed needs new models.
Yes.
They need to be looking at things different. They need new tools, new models.
Right.
And they've started getting that. So apparently they've been listening to my show, Joan. But seriously, what's been so interesting to me, and I think this is the kind of stuff that the average person really can get their hands around, not just Fed watchers and geeks like me, you know, Joan, are the different tools that the Fed has been using lately. Like the discount window. I mean,
right.
I know that's a little geeky, but they haven't. Two things about that discount window, folks. This is where you can go and pledge collateral to the Federal Reserve, and they'll loan you money. If you're a bank,
right?
But Joan, two things have happened recently that have, even though that discount window was there, nobody ever used it, because it had the impression if you went to the discount window, you were giving the impression that you were in trouble.
That's right.
Nobody
that's
would
true.
Go there.
Yeah.
So the discount rate. I mean, the interest rate for the discount window was almost meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
But now people are going there, and there's no stigma because they know everybody's in trouble.
Right.
So maybe that will help to spread the you know, so we don't get too upside down. The other thing is they open it up to investment banks, not just commercial banks.
Ah, that I didn't know. That's huge.
Well, and see, that's where part of the controversy is, because they did this immediately after bailing out or stopping Bear Stearns from going bankrupt. So the controversy is, well, if they'd let Bear Stearns go to the discount window, maybe they wouldn't have folded.
Oh, interesting.
See, the timing of that is very interesting. But they've also got these auctions, Joan. I don't exactly know how the auctions are working. But anyway, my point is I think Ben Bernanke is going to go down as the most creative Fed chairman, if not the most successful, at least the most creative Fed chairman.
Right.
Because, and I think we need a guy like that. We're facing, I mean, this is a time, Joan, when the financial industry has created this problem that the economy has right now.
That's right.
And this is an example where the tail wagged the dog, I think, Joan.
I think so.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Let's move over and talk about health care. What's the news on that?
All right, well.
7%?
Yeah, and I know that doesn't sound good, but it's really not that bad, because we've been looking at double-digit increases in the last several years.
11, 12, 13, 14%
yeah, right.
In 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, et cetera, et cetera.
And even better.
And that's compounded, by the way.
That's right. But even better, the most innovative employers will be looking at much, much lower increases. We're saying maybe less than 1%.
I've been reporting, Joan, on this show, I've been interviewing companies who are some of those innovative companies.
Right.
And they've talked about taking the smoking room and converting it into an exercise room. And
now that would be nifty.
Yeah, more and more companies are doing that. But they're doing other things too, aren't they, Joan? Talk to us about some
well,
of these
that's right. One of the big ones is putting employees in control of spending. And we've talked about this, gosh, for years, getting the employee kind of personally invested in the choices that they make and letting them see what the costs are of their choices.
getting them to be more healthcare consumers, right?
Right, right.
Not just patients, not just copay recipients, but
exactly.
But consumers. I mean, Joan, you know how much the price of eggs are in China. Why wouldn't you know how much it costs for a procedure, a medical procedure?
And it's actually very hard to know that, I think.
But no, I think it's something that we're that in time, Joan, you and I will know exactly what these things are worth. I recently did that with a procedure that I had. I had a test run. There's nothing wrong. I had a colonoscopy, and we found out what they were worth, and we used that number when we talked to the hospital.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and we guess what? We did it.
Wow.
We negotiated with the hospital and the
doctor. Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I got it cut like 60%. So you gotta become consumers. These companies are doing it right, and they're saving money. You can too. 22. Stay with us.
Give you my dog surprise. I'll be with you, darling. Oh, I was warned about
the Robert Cray. Coming back, folks. My favorite blues man. But like a fool, I think that's from the Shame and a Sin album. I think that's what that's called. Welcome back to 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and they've got an outstanding website called Kiplinger.com that you can go and find out a lot of good stuff there, a lot of cool stuff. It's an outstanding website. I check it out on a regular basis myself. But then I also am a subscriber to their publication, so I get to go everywhere on their website. I get to wander around deep into the bowels of their website and look in some of the heavy research that they do. And you can too if you're a subscriber, which you also can get one of their publications or more if you want. The weekly letter that Joan and I work off of, the Kiplinger letter, which has been around since 1923, that comes out every Friday, and you can get it by email or by mail. And then they've got three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter that are every other week. And then there's a magazine that they put out that's outstanding. Right, Joe?
You bet. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Did I tell you that I saw a national car ad, a big, high-production car ad that referenced the Kiplinger endorsement of that automobile?
Oh, I believe it did, sure.
Yeah, that. So you guys got some good ad PR there.
That's true. That's true.
From that. That was good. And right. So, folks, you can subscribe online at Kiplinger.com, but you can also call a phone number. Joan, give us that number.
That's right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Check it out, folks. They do good stuff over at Kiplinger. And don't forget, they're a family-owned small business. That's what I like about them. Joan, back to the healthcare thing for just a minute. This is an interesting little topic here. This is a trend that's gaining a foothold. Tell us, you see that right there, Joan?
Right.
Tell us about that. This is interesting.
You mean the financial penalties for unhealthy lifestyles?
Tell us about that.
Now, again, I think this is all in the context of the employer. And we say, you know, unhealthy lifestyles such as smoking, for example. And, in fact, I think I read, it might have been on or seen on 60 Minutes, you know, a company that was firing workers who would refuse to quit smoking. And this company, if I remember correctly, they paid for their workers to go to smoking cessation classes. I mean, mm-hmm. they gave them all the financial support they could. Mm-hmm. And they gave them a certain amount of time in which to quit. But if they didn't, they were let go.
Wow.
Yeah. That seems pretty extreme.
So I'm not going to be in trouble if I eat a hot dog instead of a bowl of Raisin Bran.
Well, eventually you might, sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
The food police could finally get over to that point, right?
Right.
But no, seriously, there are companies, and as we talked about earlier, there are companies who are saving a lot of money, and they're giving it back to their employees in many ways, at least making the company stronger, by encouraging healthier lifestyles.
Right, exactly.
And now another thing, some companies aren't big enough to do this, but I think this is really smart, Joan, the on-site medical clinics.
Right. Now, this really, I would think, is only going to be done by the biggest companies, but you get basic care at minimal cost, and we say here big companies hiring their own medical staff, and that keeps expenses down.
But you know, Joan, this is happening, though, in the marketplace by these little clinics that are going in malls.
Right. Oh, yeah.
See, that's
yeah.
the same kind of thing
right.
on a retail basis.
I wonder if you could have a group of small businesses that pool their resources to support a small clinic.
I would think like a downtown chamber or something like that.
Right.
Do something like that.
Right.
I like that idea.
Folks, we've all
got to get smarter about health care.
Sure.
We've got to become more consumers and less patients, don't we?
That's right.
Joan, food. Talk to us about the food thing. That's next.
Well, here's some bad news. Grocery prices climbing 5% or so this year, and that's on the basically the same rate as we had last year. So that's not good in terms of the inflation outlook.
It's costing more to put groceries on the table.
Sure is.
No question about it. And a lot of it, Joan, is being influenced by our the drive for alternative energy products, isn't it?
Biofuels. We're sucking up all that corn to make fuel.
And that makes corn more expensive that we feed
sure.
the animals. And that you know, so much of these of vegetables like corn are used in the processing of so many other foods.
That's right.
It's amazing how much those things are used.
Well, just take high fructose corn syrup alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting, and I still say, Joan, that the day will come when we will abandon corn as an alternative fuel.
Oh, that's interesting. Hmm.
Corn is a very inefficient alternative as an alternative fuel. And the day I think technology will render that a relic of history one day.
Well, what kinds of substances do you think we would turn to then?
Switchgrass, for one.
Oh yeah, right.
Switchgrass is much more mm-hmm. efficient. It's just not as sexy as corn.
Right.
More people don't know about it. But I think technology will create things that won't even involve bio, Joan.
Okay.
I think we'll have hydrogen. I think we'll have solar.
Ah.
I think we'll have other stuff, other things,
right.
other technologies that will happen that I think bio will become a relic, and corn will be the first relic.
Wow.
Oh, that's
well, we need it for food, so that may be just as
exactly.
well.
No, I'm that's my point. But we're paying the price now while we work through all this stuff.
Right.
That's the problem. Joan, the of course, right in line with this is something you have over on page 3, which we'll talk about when we come back, is this renewable power R&D, the technology R&D program the government's going to keep going. We'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll talk a little bit about technology and trade right after these messages to 10 till the hour. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
And we are airplanes today.
Stand your ground. Don't let your bad breaks go getting you down.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, you know, we were talking about my prediction about alternative fuels, and looks like the government may be, you know, in a parallel universe, working on making my prediction come true with this technology R&D bill they're talking about.
Yeah, this is interesting. Congress wants to jumpstart technology R&D in fiscal 2009. They want to get some new initiatives going. And we're talking, I guess, fuel cells, nanotechnology, renewable power, things like that.
There are so many things. I've got a couple of one nanotechnology expert who's on my show, Joan, fairly often. I've got a futurist, Joe Barker, who's on the show talking about these things. There are so many promising things out there. And Joan, I think that the presidential candidates are completely missing an opportunity to differentiate themselves. If I were running for president right now, I wouldn't be talking about Iraq. I wouldn't be talking about the economy. I'd be saying, you know what, guys, Iraq's going to work itself out. We're already in there. We have to finish it. You know what? The economy, we've had recessions before. We're going to have them again. We're going to work out of this thing. We need to be talking about where's this country going in the future, and the future for this country is to be a leader in the world in alternative technologies for fuel.
Oh, that's true. Sure.
Now, you tell me I wouldn't get votes for that.
I would think you sure would, yeah.
I mean, tell me what but see, that's an example.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
an example of why we don't have forward-thinking people running for president on either side of the aisle.
Right.
And, you know, they keep saying, well, you know, it's all about jobs, it's all about health care, you know, it's all about the environment. You know what? That's not where the future is. You know, in my opinion, the future is if you want to change something, Mr. Obama, you know, don't just talk about change. What are you going to change? Tell us what you're going to change. And I think any candidate, you know, my big deal in the last election, Joan, was that they should be talking about how are we going to retrain our workforce.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's
the United
huge.
States, the United States needs, that's one thing. But the other thing, the United States needs to be focusing on becoming the world's leader. This is how we restore our prominence in the world marketplace, is becoming the world's leader in alternative fuels. We could do it too, you know?
Yeah, that's so important.
Don't you believe that? Don't you believe we could do that?
Oh, I think we could, sure.
So, anyway, but they don't listen to me, Joan.
I don't understand why. I just don't.
I don't either. What's going on down here with the technology, the other technology stuff, then? The telecom?
Well,
that's
yet another
back, huh?
turn of phrase by Kiplinger. Telecom is back under sale. Now, I guess that means that things are moving along nicely.
Well, Joan, remember when I said when broadband connectivity becomes diffused in the marketplace, the world will change? And that's what's happened. I mean, so much
yeah.
has changed. Tell us about this increase in internet traffic.
Well, we say that internet traffic quadrupled last year, which I think it was at already at a pretty high level.
And it's because of what?
Yeah. We say video and other programs, you know, people are constantly clicking on, looking at videos, and probably, to a certain extent, television programs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and wireless is picking up. I mean, this is becoming mainstream, Joan. That's the thing that's happening. And, Joan, productivity is going to increase because of this. These are other reasons why, Joan, I think our whatever we have, recession or whatever, they're going to continue to be more short-lived. This is an example of how our economy is becoming more and more robust.
Right.
Because of the infrastructure that we have.
And better able to withstand shocks like, you know, high oil prices and things
That's
like
right.
that.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Joan, we got about a minute, and on page 4,
yeah.
I just want to say that President Uribe of Colombia mm-hmm. is one of my international heroes.
Why is that?
Tony Blair is an international hero to me, and President Uribe is, because he's fighting terrorism side by side with the United States. He's fighting the drug lords down there. He's trying to develop a democratic state in Colombia, and he wants a trade agreement with the United States, and he deserves one.
But he may not get one.
That's right. Tell us why.
Well, we say the Bush and Congress are on a collision course over this. The White House wants this free trade agreement, but it's not clear that Congress is going to approve it.
That's right. There are people in Congress, folks, who don't want this to happen.
Right.
And it's a mistake if it doesn't happen. We need to reward the kind of behavior that Mr. Uribe is exhibiting. We need to reward them with business. And I hope they get their act together, Joan. That's an important trade agreement that we need to have happen.
Yeah.
Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
Enjoy the cherry blossoms.
Oh, I will. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, see you later. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.